If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and a reality check you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
Welcome back, everybody. You're here on the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. My next guest is Samantha Young Fielding. We're going to be diving into the topic of conscious empowerment for busy lives. Welcome to the show, Samantha.
Thank you so much, Natalie. Lovely to be here with you.
I'm so excited to share your wisdom with my audience. I know you and I have caught up in person, and now we're going to have you on the airwaves. For those of you that don't know Sam, Samantha is a proficient and engaging communicator, mentor, and strategist whose insights are grounded in 20 years' experience as a successful entrepreneur, thought leader, and specialist in frequency medicine. Known for her colorful and compelling style, Sam is a best-selling author and sought-after speaker on well-being, consciousness, and the bridge between science and spirituality. Bring it on. In 2014, Sam was named among New Zealand's top 10 humorous speakers. And at the start of her career, she spent 15 years in international sales and marketing, helping corporates break into new markets, seeking more personal balance once she became a mother. Sam opened a natural healing center in Walton-on-Thames. Nuphoria quickly grew into the largest hub in Surrey for alternative and complementary medicine. And Sam was invited to host a weekly show on local radio named Mind, Body, and Spirit. Congratulations. In 2012, Sam and her husband migrated their family to New Zealand and settled on a small alpaca farm in the hills between Auckland and the Waikato. Nestled at the heart of the farm, Happy Nessence, which is her business name, offers an ideal location to those seeking peaceful energy of the countryside. Sam works with frequency and brings her full circle to the energy medicine beginnings that she launched in 2005 at Nuphoria. Well, I'm so glad that it's brought you all the way to us here on Reality Check Radio. So many of those topics are things I love to dive into. Sam, so before we get into conscious empowerment, how have things been for you personally over the last, let's say, the last year?
The last year has been much self-reflection. A great deal of change because I took my business in a different direction to how I'd been working it previously when I added in frequency. It felt like the time was right to do that. But I also feel that I personally have done an awful lot of change because I used to do a lot of business networking and I haven't done anything at all in the past year. So the way that I've done my business has been very different. We've got children, so the children have been growing, developmental stages as well. So there's been an awful lot going on for the members of the family that have caused me to reflect on my roles in the family, in business, and in life. It's been an interesting year.
It's interesting, isn't it? The word roles, right? Because, you know, we go through these ages and stages in terms of parenting, but also just as people, we go through ages and stages. How do you see your role now?
I think my role now has changed a lot because I'm due my very first grandchild coming middle of June, which is exciting. But I've also stepped out to do things very differently in a more open way. For a long time, 4 years now, I have done a fitness activity that most people would find somewhat unacceptable in the open space. Mm-hmm. And now I talk about that much more widely. My spirituality, which I've practiced for over 25 years, I now speak about again in open forum. And I have become more vocal in the things that perhaps people don't necessarily want to hear, but I feel are important to be said. So my roles have definitely changed, but in a way that I'm finding myself more comfortable with.
Now, I know everyone's probably on their edge of their seats wondering what this particular fitness activity is, which I'll get to. I will ask you that. Part of what I love that you're saying is I do this thing which is called the true you. So it's like a little bit of a discovery into who people are. And I love that you are doing just that. You're expressing yourself physically with this fitness activity and then also verbally. You know, you said you're just being more open and more truthful. So what is it that you do, this fitness activity?
Aerial fitness. I actually do pole fitness and I thoroughly enjoy it. It's not an activity that is actually about performance. You can do pole fitness simply by going to a pole studio and practicing repeatedly, which I do. I train 6 days every week.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. But I also do choose to perform. Now, when I say that, that means I perform live on stage at the most twice a year. And in the beginning, this was something that people definitely found completely unacceptable, that somebody who owned a business should be getting on stage and revealing parts of their body. And I think actually we should be doing what we enjoy. And for me, pole fitness is number one about having fun. There's a wonderful community of female empowerment in the field of aerial fitness generally. And I think that if we can do it, why shouldn't we? So at nearly 57 years of age, I can do it. Therefore, I do.
Do you have people saying to you like, oh, gosh, you know, I wish I had the, you know, the guts, or I wish I had the courage, or something like that to do it? Like people that want to, but they just for whatever reason can't bring themselves?
Totally. And I only started pole fitness because I wanted core strength. Mm. I was having a lot of trouble with my back, and I was told that core strength would be a way to avoid back trouble as I got older. And so for me, it was simply a practical solution to a physical challenge. But yes, I have a lot of people saying to me, oh, that's so courageous. And I'm like, not really. But if I look back, it has definitely been a courageous path. And I guess when you ask me, for me, how the last year has been, and I said it's been about self-reflection, it's also been about courage, about doing the things that I know others have tried to pull me down for in the past. And now I do them openly.
I would love to take this opportunity to ask our listeners, what would you do? What would you do if you upped your brave? But what would you do if you put the fear aside? You know, what's something you would just love to try, even the way that Sam has done this aerial, what do you call it? Aerial fitness, the pole activity. So you can send us a message, 2057, if you want to text us or email inbox@realitycheck.radio. What is something that you would love to try, that you would love to do? I would love to go in a hot air balloon, not all the time, but at least one time in my life. That's just one example I'm going to throw out there, but I would love to hear from our audience. Let us know. Speaking of conscious empowerment, today's topic, let's just start there. What do you mean by the word, just for our listeners, just to lay it out, what do you mean by the word conscious empowerment? The word.
So for me, consciousness is about internally aligning what's going on with how you think, how you feel, and what instincts are arising inside of you. So for me, it's aligning your mind with your heart and your gut. That's what I believe consciousness is. So when I talk about conscious empowerment, I'm talking about the little things that we can do to help ourselves feel more aligned internally in order to have greater external success, whatever that may mean to you. When I named my business Happinessence, I named it for the essence of happiness. Mm. But people don't come when they're happy. People come when they're sad or they're anxious or they're grief-stricken or they're depressed. So we're always seeking something. And our external success may be around achievement, but it may simply be around feeling better inside your own skin. And for me, that's what we're doing with our consciousness, enabling ourselves to align internally, harmonize, and then feel better around everything else.
I know it's a general question, but what do you think most, or let's say many, people are seeking? Are they seeking like acknowledgement? Are they seeking a feeling of peacefulness or harmony? Is there something you can point your finger to, or a few things that are really common?
Yeah, I think if we'd had this question before the pandemic, I think there would be a lot less people who would say the answer I would give you now. Mm. But the answer I would give you now is we're seeking to fit in. And I believe that before the pandemic, that was very obvious with teenagers, peer pressure, the whole conformity. After the pandemic, I think those who chose to conform are wondering perhaps why they did. And those who didn't choose to conform are wondering where they fit. So for me, the fitting in has become really prime.
I'm really fascinated by that, actually. So The people that chose not to conform are they seeking their people? Is that what you mean by they're wondering where they fit in?
I think so, yes. I think we all, because humans were born to be living in community, in tribes, around others, the no man is an island idea. And so I think, yes, none of us survives particularly well all the time without others around us. And I think finding your tribe, discovering where you fit in, having others around you with like minds is a really critical part of happiness. And I think it's become something that more people have brought into focus since the pandemic.
Well, I think that's amazing. Like the synergy even between what you and I do, because people might come to you going, I need to find my people. And I'm like, my business name is literally Go-To Girl. Like I am a matchmaker. I help people find each other. And I know you do the same thing. Like you are a super connector, and helping people to feel at home, you know, amongst the people they're with is so important. It is such a stepping stone to happiness. What are some of the things that people can, you know, when they do find that, is that one of the keys to happiness, finding your people? What are some of the other keys to happiness?
Well, for me, one of the things that I've learned over the years is to not take the easy path. This is one of the key messages, because we all talk about, oh, it was so much easier like that, or I thought it was going to be the easy way to go. And then my clients come to me because they discover that, after all, it wasn't as easy. Something that appears easy in the beginning, over time, can take us far, far away from where we're aiming to be. So when we have, I deal a lot with people who come because they're grief-stricken, because they believed that the person that they love was going to be in their lives forever. Mm-hmm. And the easy path was to never bother to tell them and to not necessarily visit that often or spend so much time with someone. But once they've gone, then it's so much more difficult to tell somebody how much you love them, how much they meant to you. Mm-hmm. So for me, this whole it is easier this way isn't. And if we start to understand ourselves more clearly, to critically evaluate what we mean by ease, as humans, we tend to go for instant gratification, for what's going to be easy right now. And I think it's about starting to evaluate where we want to be over time. That's what happiness is. How can we remain contented over time?
So as part of that, when you said where we want to be over time, is part of that being clear on not so much the destination, but how they want to feel, you know, the vision? Is part of that gaining clarity on the vision of what happiness is for them specifically?
Correct. As I say, I started my business when we came here to New Zealand. So we're talking now, good heavens, 12 years ago. And I called it Happinessence because Newphoria, the business I had in the UK, everybody would come and they'd say to me, you know, I'm physically fine. There's nothing really wrong with me. I'm just not happy. Mm-hmm. How do I get happy? So when I came to New Zealand, named a new business, I was like, okay, what we're looking for here, what we're seeking is the essence of happiness. What is it that makes people happy? And in the last 12 years, the discovery has been there is no single thing. If I could have bottled it, I'd have made a million by now. A spray that everybody could put on in the morning, like a perfume. But there is no single thing. It's individual. And for me personally, I believe it's that internal alignment between your mind, how you think, your heart, how you feel, and your gut, how you respond to those instincts, those signals that come from inside. And that's what I actually believe happiness is all around. And so now, having had a situation with the pandemic, when some of those things were severely questioned for many people and internal alignment went out of the window, it's how do we get ourselves on track? And there is no single formula. There's lots of little easy things we can do, but no single formula.
Well, I am tempted to ask you for something like that. Not so much a formula, but almost a stepping stone, if we're going to use the analogy of, you know, taking the easy path versus not so much. If there was a stepping stone or, you know, some practical strategies or things that my lovely audience could do for themselves to move more towards, as as you call, the essence of happiness, or today we're talking about conscious empowerment. So being empowered, what are some things that would help them to get on that right path?
Amazing. I'm going to start with breath. And it's a ridiculous thing, but most of us have used it our entire life long. It's kept us going this far. So for me, breath, what I'm meaning by that is to actually notice your breathing. Now, I am not a breathwork specialist. It is not my area of expertise, but our breath aligns with our internal functioning. So when we are grief-stricken, when we are nervous, anxious, angry, our breath changes. It's a signal from the body that things aren't where you want them to be. And so for me, just simply taking time to pause and notice your breathing. Now, you can take it a step further. If we want to go with a very easy technique, you can literally spend a couple of moments each day focusing on your breath. And a lot of people will start focusing on their breath by placing one hand on their heart, one hand on their tummy. And another way of doing it is to notice your breath going in and out through your nostrils. And it's a technique that's used in meditation, is to notice how the breath comes in just in your nose, where your nostrils begin to flare. And you can notice it in and out. And then there are techniques that you can do where you speed up your breath, where you slow down your breath, that can actually help you to feel more ease. And I just think it's something that's so simple. We have it with us our entire lives. Why don't we use it?
Yeah. And breathing easy. What I often do, and I'll aim to do it on this interview as well, is in the show notes, I put like, if you like this, you might also like that. Right. So I suggest other Up Your Brave interviews. And I did interview a few months back, Scott Townsend, all about breathing. So he's got some strategies, and I'll definitely aim to link that interview as well. Interestingly, Sam, you might know that I recently started on a bit of a job, 9 hours a week. And I work with the elderly. And one of the things we do at the start is we do some chair exercises. So they watch a DVD and they do some chair exercises. But at this, before that, we do a little bit of breathing to get them centered and present. And so there you go. I'll take a note from you and do that. What else can people do to take a few steps towards conscious empowerment and happiness?
Well, for me, once we've gone from the breath, which I link to the heart, then we can drop down into the gut. And our gut is amazing. It's giving us signals all of the time. Now, for years, I've had challenges with my gut because I don't eat the foods that work as well as they could for me. And so getting older, I've begun to notice that if my gut is actually talking to me, then it might be a good plan to listen. So we can all do this. It's an easy technique, is to listen, is to just really listen to when food is passing through your gut. How's that working for you? When you are around every day, is there enough hydration going through your body? But it isn't just, gut is not just about food and hydration. It's also about the messages in the environment you find yourself. So when you're with certain people, how those people or that environment makes you feel. And if you ignore your gut messages repeatedly, they will over time begin to fade. And that's such a challenge because it's another tool that we're all born with. Now, they talk about children having the capacity before the age of 7 to see spirits and to really get in touch with the more magical side of life. And that if they don't start to develop those skills and at least receive positive feedback from their parents around that, the abilities will begin to fade. And I believe it's the same for what we all have as gut instinct. There are signals out there. There's synchronicity in our everyday. There's lots of different patterns that we continually repeat. And of course, habit is the biggest way that any of us entrain ourselves into the way we live our lives. It's the basis of everything. So I've spent a lot of time in research around behavioral habits because I think we've got options to make those changes ourselves. And it's some of the work I do at Happinessence, but people don't need to come to see me. They just need to listen to what's going on inside.
So if some of us are past the age of seven, which I would say most would be listening, the ship hasn't sailed. We can still learn to listen to our gut. So in terms of habits, are we sometimes entrained into bad habits? Meaning, like, do we just kind of go through the motions? Like, I'm walking to the grocery store, I'm doing the things, but I'm not listening to, like, if somebody makes me feel uncomfortable. Like, I always say to my kids, and they're teenagers, and I've always said to them, you know, even if you're in line at a grocery store, or you're at the movies, or you're at a friend's house having a sleepover, you know, if somebody makes you feel weird and you don't know why, listen to that feeling. Is that what you mean? Like, sometimes we just are so in our zone of routine that we've been trained out of it, and we can train ourselves back into listening?
We totally can. And if you think about it as well, as parents, everything that we are teaching our children, whether it be overtly or covertly via our own behaviors, has come from our own past. So some things that our children are learning are very outdated for their current lives. Right. And I think we all have to look at everything that we're doing, everything that has become our natural everyday habits, behaviors, routines, to see if they're still applicable. Because as you say, they may no longer be. And if we're not listening to the new signs that possibly have been trying to make themselves known for some time, then we're missing it. We're missing that chance to change. So when I said right at the beginning of our interview that for this past year has been a lot of self-reflection, it is definitely about going inside and noticing. And we can do this at any point. When we're driving to work, we all have busy lives, but we can do this in the car. We can do this if we're sitting on the train. We can do it in the middle of a busy work meeting, when we're listening to other people speaking and really understanding that the people around us are possibly not those people that we want to be spending so much time with. And how can we begin to make small change? And I always suggest that change begins small, because that is the easy way to make a change.
Right. And so that loops us so nicely back to your earlier comment about finding your tribe, you know, people wanting to find their tribe. So one of the ways to find the tribe is to maybe, as I would say, lovingly let go of some of the people in your life that don't, you know, that either you don't get a good feeling about them, or, you know, you can talk to them and it's okay, but like, you don't get excited, you don't feel fulfilled. Maybe you even feel drained after talking to them. So the tip would be what? Just spend less time with that person if you can, or maybe don't do a work project with them if you can't exactly, like, you know, you might be in the same company or the same job area, work environment as them, but maybe you kind of don't go actively out of your way to work alongside. Like, how do people actually practically do this? Correct. Distancing themselves.
Exactly. And as you just said, it's about actively. Conscious empowerment is where we are looking to actively make small changes in a different direction. So yes, if you're thrown together with ABC and this particular person is not really your cup of tea, make sure that during your coffee break, you go and talk to XYZ.
Got it.
Make sure that when it comes to walking home after work, you are choosing to be with other people. So it's small, active decisions that you can make on a repetitive basis. And it's true that ABC may be slightly put out to begin with, but over time, it's really about you making the choices that suit yourself. And so if you don't, you're gifting your entire life force to someone else. Why do that? They already have their own life force, which they need to make the most of. Each of us needs to make the most of this one very fantastic life. And it comes down to small choices each and every day that we can make actively.
I'm just smiling at myself. I just wrote down in my notes to go on the show notes page, who are you gifting your life force to, ABC or XYZ?
Oh, amazing. I love the fact that I'm even speaking in sound bites.
You are. And I think our people can remember that. Like, it's hard, you know, to remember everything that was said in an interview. But if some people can walk away with this concept of ABC versus XYZ, and making those empowered choices about who you spend time with and who you don't. I mean, that the ripple effect of that, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And if you place yourself in these new choices, what synchronicities can arrive from there? And I'm often saying, you know, if you don't put yourself in a new environment, how can something different find you? You're making it so much more difficult for the universe to help you out with what you're trying to achieve. Mm-hmm. So reach out your hand by actively putting yourself in a new space. It's so cool.
Yeah. And for the entrepreneurs out there, most of my audience knows I work with women in business specifically, and I do a lot around collaborations, right? And so you want to make empowered choices about who you partner with in business, who you collaborate with. And I often say to people, find someone who has a similar audience, but a different offering to you, you know, those types of things. But more importantly, or equally so, is that you vibe with that person. Like you feel excited to work alongside them or honored. You know, you don't have to be similar. You can have very different skill sets, which hopefully you do have very different skill sets to bring to the table, but it needs to feel like there's synergy. Like you said, there's synergy there. It's not just, oh, well, I'll just partner with this person. It's an empowered choice.
Absolutely right. When I first decided I was going to start to promote frequency through my business, it was an unusual choice. Because I've spoken about energy medicine for the last 20 years, ever since I had the healing center in Euphoria, but nobody really understood what energy medicine was about. So once I started to actively promote frequency, and people would say, well, what is that? It's just vibe. Mm-hmm. It's how we are. It's that basically the frequency upon which we are currently functioning. And I think once we have our own vibe, then we know where it is. We can amp it up when we need to. And that is about these conscious, active, empowered choices. And they're small, but they need to be repeated. And if we just do one or two because we think it's easier like that, then we find ourselves going down someone else's path. Not the way to go, in my view.
Well, you were ahead of your time with the frequency, with the healing center and everything, because that, what do you see, Sam? Like, I feel like people are now finally ready for more of that frequency type healing and things. What are you seeing out there in terms of the health and wellness space?
Definitely. I'm definitely seeing people are more open to alternatives. I'm looking at people who are considering the health system that we have around us and feeling that it's failing in many ways. And they're looking for alternatives. And I think it's absolutely right. We need to evaluate. This is my, if you like, my third critical point is to actually look. It's not so much about critical thinking, but more about critical evaluation. It's about looking at what the options are and not always going with the option that we have gone with in the past. Mm-hmm. So those of us who have followed the medical system and perhaps taken our children and had them vaccinated, we need to look now at what a vaccination actually means. We need to look now at when we're hearing signals from the media about a brand new flu that's arriving. Mm-hmm. Is that something that we really need to be concerned about to the extent that it's being pushed? We need to make our own critical evaluations and look at the ways that we can help ourselves.
Well, I love that. Like the part of this conscious empowerment discussion, especially for busy lives, when people are like, oh, I'm so busy, I don't have time to research. It's like, well, you need to be empowered. Don't just do what all the other people are doing or what you're being told to do. So I love that you're bringing up not only who are you spending time with, the tribe, but also what is going in and on your body and making empowered choices around that.
Definitely. So very important. And all of these little things, they are easy, but what we have to do is keep on doing them. And this is why I said right at the beginning that we have to evaluate that easy path and determine that occasionally we actually need to make more of an effort than aiming for ease. We actually need to try harder. It's like a school report, isn't it? Sam should have tried harder at school. Actually, I think we all should be trying harder in life. Because there are ways we can make our own lives easier, but only if we remain consciously aware of active choices.
I'm such a visual learner. And right now what I'm picturing, and of course, I come from an outdoorsy background. You know, I was an outdoor instructor. And you know, when you see, let's say you're doing a walking track on a dock path or something, and it has the sign and one sign says, go this way. And the other sign says, you know, that way and the distance, and the lookout and all that. It's like one sign says the easy path. And the other sign says the empowered path. It's like, let's take the empowered path, people.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I completely agree with you. We have an alpaca farm here and people think, oh, alpacas, they're amazing. They're so much fun. There's a little bit of hard work involved in having alpacas too. There's a little bit of hard work involved on the empowered path, but it's so worth it. And that's it. When you can turn around and say, my choices were worth it. That's empowerment.
And it shows up, I imagine, in your increased energy, increased fulfillment. People might call it success, you know, increased happiness. How else do we know that we're actually on the empowered path? What are the signs?
For me, the signs are that not everybody thinks you are amazing. And that's okay, because I know I'm not personally everyone's cup of tea. But I also know that I'm inspiring a whole lot of people who look at me and think, if she can, I can.
Yeah.
And that to me is more empowering and more powerful than being everyone's cup of tea. So perhaps it's the fact that you're not everyone's cup of tea.
I love that. So good. All right. This leads me so nicely to the Up Your Brave question. Sam, if you were to truly up your brave in 2024, I think you've got 6 months to go, what would you do?
I think I might have said it more than once. It's simply about checking on your path. It's not about the easy way. It's not about instant gratification. It is about putting in a bit more effort. And so for me personally, that leads me to what I've been doing differently. I have pivoted my business several times round. I'm out there doing a lot in the world of things that I have been pulled down for before. God bless tall poppy syndrome. Mm. And now I'm back into doing more face-to-face networking, really upping my brave, taking my courage in both hands, getting out there and going face-to-face, knowing that I'm not everyone's cup of tea, and be more comfortable with that.
Well, I love that. And for those of you that don't know, Sam is going to be leading one of the Empowered Connections, speaking of empowerment, Empowered Connections networking clubs in the Karaka area. So South Auckland, is that correct?
That is right. I'm very excited. We've launch meeting coming up on the 16th of May. And so we're excited about having a lot of people there who literally want to take things forward in the way we've been speaking about today, who actually want to consciously empower themselves and each other by deepening their connections to allow more synchronicity between them. What fun, what amazing fun.
Yes. So if you are a business owner or you know any in that area, you can get in touch with Sam. But Sam, what else is coming up for you specifically? Let's say basically in the rest of 2024 and beyond, any exciting trips or any projects or events or coaching that you're doing?
Yeah, what I'm doing at the moment is creating a whole set of online training for people who want to learn how to read tarot cards themselves. Mm-hmm. I've read tarot for other people professionally for over 20 years. And one of the things people always ask me is, how easy is it to learn? And I think it actually, to get started, is a lot easier than many people think. There are certainly a number of cards in a tarot pack. There's 78 cards, but it's not that difficult when you look at a few easy ways to start to assess the images that are in front of you. And so that's what I'm doing, is I'm putting together an online course, which will just be an evergreen. You can jump in, you can do it when you like, and it's coming out. It's not yet there, but it's coming together. So very excited about that too.
Okay, so people can maybe follow you to find out more. Where can they follow you on the socials and your website to keep in touch with that?
That would be amazing. Anybody who would love to do that. Happinessence is available on Facebook. We're on Instagram. So again, under Happinessence, you can find me there. I'm on LinkedIn personally, Samantha Young Fielding. So yeah, I'm all over social media. Would you believe I even have a TikTok account? And that one has been a little bit more fun because that one's called Freak Me Out. F-R-E-Q, Freak Me Out. So that one has been great.
Oh, that's so cool. So what you're looking for, everyone, because I know we're audio only, but on the video, you can look for Sam. She's got spiky pink hair and glasses and earrings. She'll stand out in a crowd. Happinessence, Happinessence. Did I spell it right?
You totally did. Perfect. Yeah.
Okay. So if they're looking for you on the socials, they're looking up that. And is it Happinessence dot?
It's Happinessence NZ on Instagram. Yeah. And I think it's Happinessence Limited on Facebook. It's annoying when you can't get the same grab word in the same in all places. But yeah, it is mostly Happy Nessence, and then there might be an NZ or a Limited on the end.
Amazing. We will put all of the links to that on the show notes page. You can find that on the replay section of Up Your Brave on the RCR app. If you guys don't have the app, it's free. You can get the RCR app or just go to realitycheck.radio and look up the replays from there. All right, Sam, is there anything you'd like to share with our audience before we go?
I want to wish everybody the most amazing day of not taking the easy path, remembering that our consciousness means we're internally aligning what's going on with our brain or our mind, with our heart, with our gut. And once we're doing that and harmonizing inside, your outside success, whatever you deem it to be, is pretty much assured. So have fun with it.
Yay. Thank you so much, Sam, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Natalie. It's been amazing.
You have been listening to Samantha Young Fielding talking about conscious empowerment for busy lives on Reality Check Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so connect with us today.